Get some ice before you disrupt my podcast.
And grab my single issues and wrap them up tight and make a list so my collection's complete.
Everybody, and welcome to Inside the Long Box. My name is Thomas Strange, and I'm joined by Michael Manning and Tom Boucher. This is going to be a weekly podcast in which we talk about one character in particular that we all kind of like, some of the more important things that he or she has done, and some of the more iconic
storylines.
Like I said before, my name is Thomas Strange. I have a BA in history, and I speak a lot about civil rights and social justice movements in comic books. To my right, if you go around the map of the United States, in New Orleans, is Mike Manning. Mike, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Hi, I have been collecting comics since 1972 when my dad was nice enough to give me a World's Finest comic. And I am also a historian. I have a bachelor's degree from the University of Massachusetts, and I also speak at a number of different conventions, thanks to my good friend Tom Strange.
Tom Boucher, you're in Boston, to my immediate left, I suppose. Tell us a little bit about you.
I've been collecting comics since the 80s. I was given a big box of them as a child, and I fell in love with them then, and I've been reading on and off ever since. I have no history degree, but that doesn't mean I don't like talking about old comics.
Well, who doesn't like old comics? Speaking of comics, today's character of the week is going to be the Elongated Man. Mike, give us a quick intro about that.
All right. Yes, the Elongated Man is one of the first super stretchy superheroes. He is not the very first, though, because he came along in the Silver Age. I think it's important to talk about a few of the prior super elastic
heroes. Stretchy is fine.
Yeah. Of course, there's the Super Skrull, Martian Manhunter, Metamorpho, and the current Ms. Marvel, Kamala Khan. But we should go back to earlier versions. Mr. Fantastic, as everyone knows, appeared in Fantastic Four in August of 1961 after the Elongated Man. But predating him, there were two famous superheroes with the power of super stretching. Plastic Man from Police Comics number 1 in August of 1941, and Thin Man, who appeared in May 1940 in Mystery Comics number 4. And those two characters actually play a good part in the Elongated Man story. The first character in comic books with super elasticity was not a superhero. He was known as Ping the Elastic Man, who appeared in Beano number 1 in 1938. Where he used his super stretchy powers to box. But the Elongated Man first appeared in Flash number 112, which was in May of 1960. He was created by John Broom and Carmen Infantino.
Yes. Infantino.
Julie Swartz was in the process of recreating all the Golden Age superheroes that DC Comics had the rights for. He wanted to recreate Plastic Man, so he asked them to create Elongated Man instead because he was not aware that DC Comics had the right to Plastic Man. So after Plastic Man appeared in Flash, it turned out originally the Flash thought he was a supervillain because he was beating him to the crime scenes. But it turned out that Elongated Man, a.k.a. Ralph Dibny, was just a really good detective. He got his powers from drinking gin gold because, hey, it was the Silver Age, and, you know, you could just drink a potion that the Indian rubber man at the carnivals drink and get superpowers back then. He became a reoccurring character in The Flash, and eventually has made his way over to Detective Comics as the backup story to the Batman. He and Sue were backup stories in Detective Comics, and this plays back to The Thin Man because it was kind of like a version of Nick and Nora from the Thin Man movie series from the 1930s and 1940s, where Elongated Man solved the problems or the mysteries with logic and reasoning, really without needing to use his superpowers too much. In 1973, Ralph became a member of the Justice League of America in issue number 107, and that was the premier superhero team of the Silver Age. Until the dark days of the Justice League of America, also known as Justice League Detroit, where Aquaman disbanded the part-time Justice League and wanted a full-time league. So he recruited the returning Martian Manhunter along with Zatanna and Ralph and four new superheroes, Gypsy, Vixen, Steel, and everyone's favorite breakdancer from the 80s, Vibe. After that Justice League disbanded, Ralph went on hiatus until Justice League Europe was formed. That's where he joined along with Sue, and Sue became the de facto house mom for the Justice League Europe and was the straight man for all the crazy, zany stuff that was going on in the comic.
Kind of like a more jovial Amanda Waller.
Yeah, oh, a much more jovial Amanda Waller. Then everything came crashing down with Brad Meltzer's identity crisis, which, Tom, I believe that's your, both Toms, that's your favorite series about Elongated Man. Is that correct?
That is correct. I love that series. It really is one of those comic books that I read more like a second reading of comic books for me. You know, I was never really out of comic books, but I was reading more of the old comic books over and over again because that's what I liked. And, you know, then I got my hands on Identity Crisis, and I just rediscovered that modern writers are really doing it well. It's a very dark storyline, which all of you guys have kind of given me a little bit of ribbing about, that my favorite storyline with the Elongated Men is this horrible, horrible tale about how someone is murdered and we must find out who did it. Tom, what's your take on it?
I love the Identity Crisis storyline. I think it's really a great telling of all the DC heroes in a very humanistic way. Whereas, unlike Marvel, DC tends to not focus on the day-to-day lives of the superheroes. And this was kind of all of them being really human, grieving, pitching in, trying to find the identity of the killer. You know, and it was really, to me, it was DC kind of taking a lot of their old elements and adding in a very humanistic way, and I thought it was done very well, and I thought it was an amazing storyline.
Yeah, plus, there were some very dark parts in there, especially when it comes to what some of these superheroes did to punish or to stop some of the super villains. Mike, you want to go into that a little bit?
I don't want to spoil the surprise. If you haven't read it, I highly recommend you reading it. But in addition to the murder of a very close member of the Justice League family, there's actually a sexual assault that occurs in flashbacks that's pretty graphic in nature. You either love or hate the series, and I concur with Tom that DC usually...
Which, you're going to have to be a little more specific. Which, Tom?
I concur with both of you that it's dark, but I also agree DC tended to operate more in black and white areas, and this is the first time you see gray areas being delved into by the heroes. What's right versus what's necessary. And they even point out that, you know, the two big guns of the Justice League, Batman and Superman, have flaws because they're not perfect. So I highly recommend that series. Usually we're going to also talk about another series that's of Ralph's, that's my favorite, and that is a series called 52, and I think Ralph really shines in that. 52 was a weekly series that happened after Identity Crisis. So basically the DC Universe got reset after Identity Crisis, and all the storylines jumped ahead a year. 52 was put out to let the reader know some of the things that happened within that year. And that is the – Ralph is one of the main characters in that. It really focuses on kind of the B and C list superheroes of the DC universe, but I thought it was amazing. Ralph is no longer viewed as a comedic character in that after the results of Identity Crisis. And Ralph is so torn up about the loss of Sue that he is contemplating suicide. The character arc that Ralph takes is amazing. And not only that, he takes on some of the most powerful characters in the DC universe. Without using his powers, he uses his brain. And I think the underlying theme that Ralph demonstrates is that anyone can be a hero, regardless of whether you have powers or not. So I don't want to spoil it for anybody who might want to read it. Highly recommend it. Have you guys read the 52?
I read some
comic books under your after your recommendation. I haven't gotten through the whole thing yet. How about you, Tommy?
I have not read it as of yet. I've read bits and pieces here and there, but I have not read the whole body of the work. I will say this though about Elongated Man. One of my favorite panels is him knocking out a guy by extending his nose back in the 60s because his hands were full. And I just thought that was very amusing. I mean, first off, you know, how much weight can there really be behind a piece of nose? And also, you know, how could he do it from 20 feet away?
All right. Well, let's not forget what Bill Wallace taught us when we were very young. What does force equal? Speed and mass and the punching power. I mean, the nose is very small. If you got that nose going fast enough, there's a lot of force behind that, right?
There's not a lot of mass.
I know, but it's a small striking area once again. Bill Wallace, you taught us well. All right, we're also going to go move on a little bit to what to read in recommendations. We're going to talk about an older series and a newer series. We're going to start actually with the newer series, The Sinister Stick, and that's Mike Manning's milieu.
Yeah, it is an excellent series called The Secret Six.
Did I say Sinister?
Yeah, you did, but that's all right. The Secret Six is a DC comic that just started as part of the New 52. It was also part of the New 52 comics. This is a whole new different team, even though they still have some of the same characters that overlap in it. Gail Simone is writing it. It's, if you like character-driven stories, this is the one for you, because all the members of the Secret Six, all seven of them, don't ask me why, are well developed. In addition to that, the story is not told sequentially. It's kind of weird. When I first started reading, I was like, what happened? And then as I read the future issues, I realized they're jumping back and forth in each issue. It kind of throws you off a little bit at first, but stick with it. I highly recommend it. Not only because of the great characterization, but Ralph is in it, not as the Elongated Man, but as a different character. But, and so is... And Sue Dibney is in it also. They've brought her back. I'm very happy about it. She's a great character. And I think you'll really enjoy it.
Well, terrific. That was from the front of the long box. LT, what do you got at the back of the long box for us?
I wanted to talk about a series from the 80s called American Flag. It was put out by First Comics. And in it, there was a dystopian future where TV star Plexus Ranger Reuben Flag is... stationed in Chicago. Chicago is run by a corporation, and he's responsible for keeping the peace, even though there's 75 registered paramilitary polyclubs in town, and the local broadcasting of TV is very important in the series, and Reuben Flag discovers that there are subliminal messages in the Bob Vilant shows that kind of sets off a powder keg every week, and it's all about his adventure stopping those and how he becomes the owner of a pirate TV station and all the craziness that goes on in that dystopian future that's run by sex, drugs, and violence. It's definitely not a series for the kids, but if you're nostalgic for the Cold War times and the political climate of those times, then I suggest you give it a try.
Well, everybody likes, you know, Cold War. I mean, that's just one of the greatest things ever. I'm going to go to a different box, guys. I'm pulling out something from the way back in the issues because I like to talk about socially relevant or civil rights issues. So I'm going to go way back to Superman Volume 24, number 247. This was in January 1972, and this is entitled Must There Be a Superman? This is a terrific, terrific comic book. The Council of the Green Lanterns summons Superman, and they accuse him of stymieing the evolution of human beings on Earth by constantly interfering. They give him some very prime examples of how he's not allowing humans to deal with their own problems. My favorite part is when Superman goes to intervene in a farmer's strike. A little Latino boy is being struck by the huge overlord. He's actually being slapped across the face. Superman flies down, intervenes. They demand that Superman, the migrant workers demand that Superman help them, and he says no. This is your problem. You have the power to stop this man from making you work so many hours, so many labors. Band together, form a union, do the right thing. You don't have to rely on a Superman. As he's given this terrific speech about how he's doing nothing at all for them because they can do it themselves, an earthquake strikes. And everyone yells, save us, Superman. And Superman is all like, yeah, I'll save you from an earthquake. So he bores down into the earth, stops the earthquake, and rebuilds all their houses. Once again, they say, well, thanks a lot for that. But, you know, we still got this overlord who's still got this big stick, and he still wants to beat the hell out of us. And Superman says, once again, you should be able to take care of that all on your own. He wants them to be their own superheroes. He actually flies away, not giving them any easy answers, not flying the bad guy into a volcano, not doing anything like that, telling them that they have the power to band and become a union. The Green Lantern Corps, or the Council of the Green Lantern, I should say, see this and give Superman a reprieve and allow him to stay on Earth as long as he doesn't interfere so much in human development. Terrific comic book, great artwork, a lot of fun to read. I really recommend that one.
That's good, because that's a Copper Age Superman, and usually those tended to be really bad. But I'm glad that that was a good issue.
That was a great issue. Some of them do end up being a little stinky. My favorites at the time were not the Lois Lane ones. Those Lois Lane comic books are almost hard to read. Along with Superman Family, those are kind of tough to read too sometimes. We're going to talk quickly about plugs and give our thanks to everybody. I have nothing huge coming up, though we will hopefully be talking in New Orleans. Is that correct, Mike?
Yes, hopefully we will be at the New Orleans Wizard World Comic Con in the beginning of January of 2016.
A terrific time to be there. A great con. We've been there, what, three times now?
Yes, we've spoke the last three years in a row on civil rights and social justice.
That's terrific. We always have a good time. Big crowds every once in a while. A lot of fun to talk about. And a lot of good people are going to be down there, including Ric Flair is going to be down there and with his daughter Charlotte. LT, do you got anything to plug coming up?
I don't have anything this week.
All right. Remember to play the drinking game, by the way. Every time any of us say you have to take a shot. And then when you're in the emergency room, you can blame us for your alcohol poisoning because we know we said it kind of a lot of times.
I'd just like to plug one thing before we head out.
All right.
That is this is very wordy, and it's not my fault. It's not my blog, but it's the Ralph Dibny, the world-famouselongatedman.blogspot.com, which is an excellent database and resource if you are interested in Ralph Dibny, the world famous elongated man.
That's
so
terrific.
If you want to dabble about the Dibny, you need to go to that blog.
As long as we're plugging things that we all like, let's plug real quick another podcast that we all like. That's Femme Fatale. That's by a blogger friend of ours named Emily. And she's really terrific. Go over to the comic book Femme Fatale over on Facebook. Check out her stuff. She talks a lot about women's issues. We've been lucky enough to have her on a couple panels with us. And she's really, really a lot of fun to be with. She's very passionate about comic books, especially as they deal with women issues. And you can also go to our website, comicbookfemmefatale.com.
Hey, one more quick plug. I want to thank Kirby Crackle for all the music that you're listening to. If you haven't heard of Kirby Crackle or listened to him before, I suggest you go check out their website, kirbycrackle.com, or even better yet, go download their music from iTunes.
All right, well, that's it. Everyone have a great week. This is ill news. Ill news indeed.
Wait, what was it?
I just pulled out a gray nose hair.
Yeah, I'm recording now.
Awesome.